Reading from the book of the Acts of the Apostles, the second chapter, verses 42 through 47. Listen to God's word. Let me give you the context. It is Pentecost Day. Peter has given the first sermon, Christian sermon, Pentecost sermon. And crowds have responded wonderfully, 3,000, something like that. And now this describes something of the life of that nascent church. Acts 2:42, listen to God's word. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Okay, we have to use our imaginations, and you have to imagine that there's a table here, and that on the table is a big, kind of like something that would look like either a big wide beaker or a big glass flower pot vase or something like that. Can you picture something like that, really big? And it was an illustration. It's an illustration used by someone really to talk about time management. And so what the person did was he had reached down underneath the table and pulled out a bunch of rocks and kept putting rocks into the beaker, or we'll call it a beaker, until it was full. And he asked those who were participating in the seminar, is it full? To which they all said, yes, it's full. And he said, wait a minute. He took what scooped down, came up again with something else. He had a bucket of pebbles and poured the bucket of pebbles in the beaker, in the container, and then filled it up to the top. And then he said, is this full? Well, they were wondering, you know, maybe we shouldn't say it's full just yet. We don't know what this person has up their sleeve. So they were non-committal in their response. Sure enough, he reached down again and pulled out. He had a bucket of sand. And he poured the sand in the container, and the sand went in, even though there were rocks and even though there were pebbles. And then there was sand going in there. And then he said, is it full? Man, they thought that thing looked pretty full, but they weren't quite sure whether they should answer. And then he took out, and this is where the story diverges a little bit. Because he reached down underneath and brought out a pitcher, and it's either water or beer. That's the divergent. I'm telling the story. He picked up a pitcher of beer because it's heavy, you know, heavier, and that's what. No. Dorothy is saying no, and he poured the pitcher of beer in the container, and lo and behold, it rose up and it was full. So what they thought was full. At one point, more and more stuff was able to be added to it. Now, there's a moral of it to that teaching, and one of the morals is, well, there's always room for beer. I mean, that's obvious. Yeah. That's why I chose beer instead of water. And the other is this. You have to put the rocks in first. Now, the seminar was about time management. And the illustration shows that the things we value as most important in the use of our time and in our lives, can if we put other stuff in there first, for example, if you filled it up with beer, if you filled it up with pebbles, or if you filled it up with sand, there wouldn't be room for the rocks. And so, in what another author has called the tyranny of the urgent, all too often, the pebbles and the sand of life, urgent stuff, comes up in our lives and does not leave room for the things that we identify as important in our lives. So what are the rocks in your life? What are the priorities of your life that have to go in first and maybe haven't been going in first and have been being pushed out of the space that they should be taking up in our lives, but our lives are filled with other stuff? Well, that's an illustration that the session worked through. They read it in our winter retreat. Session was just formed with a new class of officers, and it was in February. And we met here for a morning in the church. George Conley, Janice Parker had omelets for us all, and we got off to a good start. And we noted that illustration, and we went through a process of identifying what would they, or we, as leaders of the church, identify are the rocks of our church family, of our church? What is it that is of rock bottom importance to us as a church family? And back in February, the session identified that there were four. Help me remember, folks, if I forget. One of them was worship, that was an important rock. Another was Christian education, and what they meant by that was not just Sunday school, but Christian education as a lifelong endeavor for all ages and often and can be intergenerational. That's one of the rocks we viewed as important. Another one was mission. That is how we serve God, how we use our money, how we use our time, outside of worship, but serving God in the world. And the other one was, and we came up, we tried to find words that were really appropriate. Fellowship is a word, but fellowship sometimes is connected with coffee and, you know, and bagels, and that's not quite what we meant by it. We meant being a family. Being a church family, caring for each other, for those in our church family community. Those were the four rocks that Session identified back in February, and they made a commitment. And by the way, I have to say, I think we have an
prayer.
No, not yet. Not yet. I know what you mean, and that wasn't what we said. We'll get to that, though. She's right and wrong at the same time. But thank you. We have an unusual session we do have a very unusual group in the inner dynamics of the session. It's rare. I think it's been rare even in our church history. There is a mutuality and a working together. Some of it may even be that we just moved into the library where we're tighter together rather than the big space of the fellowship hall. But there's an openness in this session to seeking God's will and wanting very much to serve this congregation as we serve God together. So we made a commitment back in February that we would meet again and talk about, well, what do we do with the fact that we've identified these four rocks? And so we met yesterday. And lo and behold, we looked at the passage from the book of Acts of the Apostles, which is the liturgical passage, the lectionary passage that's prescribed for today. And we read something of what the early church, as they lived it out, actually became the rocks for the early church. And we discovered this, Acts 2:42, that the new church, just as it was being formed out of its birth, the couple thousand people who responded to the Holy Spirit and through the call of Peter on the day of Pentecost and actually formed the first really visible Christian church, what was important to them, and this is what it says, they devoted themselves. It doesn't mean they just identified that these were important things. It meant they committed themselves. They were devoted to these. They made it a priority of important. They made them rocks. And here's what they were. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. Thank you very much. That's where we got prayers. Well, my goodness, we thought, man, this must be of the Lord, because when we took our four rocks and held them against the four rocks of the early church, we saw that we were pretty much there. We had said Christian education was one. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. We said that fellowship was one, caring for each other, and in a very dramatic way, and what one writer has called a Christian communism of love. They lived as best they could as a community, sharing gifts. It doesn't mean they sold all of their property, because they still were able to meet in people's houses, but it meant that they shared of their resources with each other, to anyone who had need. And that's fellowship. That's the word in the New Testament is koinonia. What we also learned is that worship was a very important part. It said they spent a lot of time daily in the temple, and they did such things as prayers, and they did such things as eating together the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. We identified mission, and we could say two things about it. One, there is mission in the four things that the apostolic church saw, in that their mission was to be a church family together and to take care of the needs of the family. But this was only just the early days, and they weren't yet pushed out into the world to see the whole world as a mission field, which would happen when, after Stephen, the first Christian martyr, was killed, and the Jews in Jerusalem started a persecution of this new sect within these Christian people, and then many of those who were present there on Pentecost were forced to leave Jerusalem and out into the world, and there's the mission. So your session was pretty much spot on with identifying the rocks of our church family life together. At one point in the conversation, worship seemed to loom up as maybe the most important, and that the others were subcategories of it. But later on, we decided, no, that they're all vital. And one interacts and flows into and out of the other. But I want to say something about worship. In September, I made a commitment and I joined the gym at Princeton Hospital. It's a wonderful gym. They got all the exercise stuff you could want. They have a salt water pool, you know, they've got the sauna, they've got all of the stuff. You get to meet with a trainer once every so many weeks as part of your membership. You get to meet with a nurse every so many weeks as part of your membership. You get to meet with a dietitian along the way and all of that. And all of that stuff is good. And I thought, not making worship a priority. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I'm also preaching to us because we're here. But not making worship a priority is like being a member of the gym and talking to the nurse and talking to the dietitian and talking to the trainer, but never getting on the treadmill. Never exercising. Never going and doing the very thing that the place is primarily there for. And I think for many, that's our relationship with worship. We have 600, quote unquote, active members of our church family. We have another 300 members who are inactive. How that relates to the 600 who supposedly are active, that's a matter. But, and I know I'm preaching to the choir. You're here. But the point is, this is what we're about. Just as a gym is a place where you exercise, a church is a place where God's people gather to worship. All the other stuff is important. But it grows out of and flows out of our corporate worship life together. One of the things we can do is that we can make worship a priority. And I don't mean to nail anybody, but not just be here when our kids are leading in the children's choir, not just be here when we have a role of reading the scripture or singing or playing an instrument or something else, but making a commitment that we are going to be here at worship because that's what we're about. The rest of the stuff is important. Yes, it's all important. And there is an interconnection to it. But not coming to worship is like being a member of a gym and never exercising. One of the other important rocks we saw was fellowship. And you know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a famous 20th century theologian, said that Christian community, he called it brotherhood, but in fact I want to read the quote. Christian brotherhood, we would say community, family, is not an ideal which we must realize. It's not a goal that we shoot for. Rather, it is a reality already created by God in Christ in which we participate. We are family. We don't have to create a family. We don't have to make it happen. By virtue of our connection to God through Jesus Christ, that makes us brothers and sisters, whether we like it or not, whether we wish it were true or not, whether we could undo it or not. There are no only child Christians. But when we become part of God's family and relationship with Jesus Christ, we become brothers and sisters. It's a rock. And our session has rightly identified that. Christian education. It's another rock. And yes, we get some education every week during the worship service, what we're doing right now in terms of preaching. And hopefully we're growing in that. But what one of the commentators said, N.T. Wright, that we actually read. We read a section from his commentary yesterday. He said that if you're not involved in lifelong Christian education, then your values, then your understanding of life is being shaped and formed by the culture around you. Can't help but be. If your kids aren't in Sunday school, their values are being shaped by other factors. School, for example. Friends, for example. The same holds true for all of us. If we're not involved in lifelong study of God's Word, if we're not involved in growing in our faith, being stagnant, then we're at the mercy of any new idea, any new philosophy, any new politic, any new anything that comes along. It's a rock. Another rock, of course, is mission. The church that focuses only on itself becomes what? Fat. Becomes narcissistic. Becomes something that is self-centered and exists only for itself. That's not the church of Jesus Christ. We exist for the world. We are God's family who have the privilege and the responsibility of sharing the good news of God's love with the world and then enacting that love through feeding the hungry, through justice, through caring, through medical missions, and all of the wide range of wonderful things that this church family is invested in. This is a wonderful church family. We are involved in so much that is so good. And this is a place where we can come and know that we are loved and know that there are people who care about each other here and know that we're going to hear about God's grace and we're going to be able to worship God with our prayers, with our singing, with our giving, and with our serving. I close with a couple of verses from this passage. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their numbers those who were being saved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.